Hey, welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And this is so great to have Jake Johnson back on with us. One of the probably top three people we've ever had on this program. And you know him, of course, from New Girl. You know him from Minx, which is in season two. It's a hilarious show. And he's back on with us. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes!
Super Bowl champs.
The kingdom roared back in the Super Bowl. Man.
You know, I got to say, in watching it, it's, you know, Mahomes, I'm from Chicago, so you guys are living through the Michael Jordan era. Well, yeah. He's that guy.
You guys could have had him.
I know it. Well, yeah. You know what? We had Mitch Trubisky. So we're not sweating it either.
Yeah. So yeah, we're good. We got Mitch. It's,
you know, a buddy of mine was over last night. We were watching the game and we said he's a Bears fan too. And we realized if we got Pat Mahomes, we would have turned him into Mitch Trubisky.
You would have screwed it up.
Yeah. Andy Reid is a great head coach for a quarterback.
Right.
And you guys have developed them perfectly. It's like you guys just did it right.
I just found out today. I mean, there's so much passion on that team, you know. And I kept wondering, I'm sure you saw when Kelce came off the field and took a cheap shot at Andy Reid. And nobody said anything about it. I mean, nobody was like, what was that about? And Andy Reid comes out and says, hey, that's okay, man. I mean, he came up to me and he goes, put me in. I want to play. I can score.
The culture of each team matters so much. And as a fan, I will say it's nice to see the Chiefs culture under Andy Reid. You know, the Belichick era of players don't matter. It's just the organization.
Right.
It was nice to see Tom Brady because he was so special. But I don't believe in that culture. So I like when the players are the ones that are celebrated because they're the ones who are putting their bodies on the line.
Right.
That's who we're cheering for. So a coach who respects the players just makes it a lot easier from the outside to
It's such a special group, you know. I mean, they just seem to all care about each other, and it starts with Andy Reid and flows down through Mahomes, of course. And, you know, the thing that people don't understand that don't live in Kansas City is the fact that these guys also invest in the community. You know, Patrick Mahomes, he's from Texas, and he loved Whataburger, and we had no Whataburgers in Kansas City. Now we got 25.
Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. He owns half of them.
He brought his favorite hamburger.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'll tell you, Randy, you know where I thought you were going with this?
Where?
That he was working at the hospital with children. He was doing great work. He brought his favorite hamburger to every corner of Kansas City.
I would not call
that charity work, Randy.
He just wanted a Whataburger close by.
You know what? Pat Mahomes is really doing God's work in Kansas City. He's bringing his favorite curly fries to every block.
He's a visiting angel, man. I mean,
You know what? We're also good for him.
And he also owns a pretty good percentage of the Kansas City Royals now.
Does he really?
Yeah. And his wife owns the women's soccer team here. So they're not going anywhere.
No, they're deep in.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, we're talking to Jake Johnson here in the National Defense. Speaking of Vegas, I just finished watching the episode where you guys were in Vegas on Minx.
Fun.
Man, I got to tell you, and I know you executive produced that show too. What a cool thing to see 70s Vegas. Yeah, and I don't know how you did that. But I mean, perfect.
Yeah. You know, the set design, the direction of Minx is so special. Honestly, one of the fun reasons about doing a show like that is, you know, I was born in 78. So I missed the 70s besides from all the photos of me being held by like my uncles and aunts and my parents.
Right.
And there's all these photos of me and my siblings and like all these legends with huge mustaches and cans of beer, you know, rocking a heater in their hands where I'm like,
right.
When did everybody look so cool? You know, nowadays the photos we all have like kombuchas and short hair. So the further reason was like, man, I just want to be around a group of extras who look cool for once.
Right. You're smoking on airplanes. I mean,
it's unthinkable. Even whenever we're on that set and we're in a restaurant and all the extras light up, I do have memories of it. I remember there were smoking sections of restaurants. I remember there was we grew up across the street from the McDonald's, and there was a room you could go to Nick D's and smoke cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we still have in Kansas City, you got video of Lenny the Cool on the sideline smoking a smoking a cigarette while he's, you know, on the sidelines.
I mean, what is his name? Jim Leland, the old Pirates.
Oh, yeah. Manager. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best clips are he's in the dugout smoking a hitter is as funny as it gets. I mean, there's that great, it might be who you're talking about, the old, because I'm remembering it right, but that quarterback at halftime who's sitting there all tired just ripping a smoke. So funny, man. I mean, have it with dip. You know, ball players are still using dip. That's going to get banned soon. They're going to not allow that because you got these guys with this big honk and chew in their mouth. I'm going to go like, the government's got this. They're going to get involved in that soon.
Well, and that's why that's back in the days when I used to love to watch golf, you know, when nobody was fit. Nobody's fit. Yeah. Nobody's John, working John out.
He is the best golfer in his stories. To have a big fat guy who drinks 150 Diet Cokes and then wins. I do miss the day when athletes were just good at a game rather than since the time they were 4 years old have been perfectly trained.
Right, right.
I had it with UFC too. I don't know if you follow UFC at all and mixed martial arts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I got into it probably like 15 years ago, 16 years ago, where it used to be like a big fat striker who had like a straight up beer belly versus like a dude with no muscles who did jiu-jitsu. And you'd be watching and be like, I really don't know who's going to win out of this. Now,
right.
Everybody's an athletic freak who does everything.
Right.
And it's become its own thing. But I would like to see a different league. And that is the kind of league that when you're in a bar and it's late and it's getting crazy and you realize like, oh, there's probably going to be a fight. And you go like, I think that guy in the mullet is going to try to fight that guy with cauliflower ears. And I'll put my money on cauliflower ears. I got $100 on cauliflower ears over mullet. And then mullet wins with like a left hook. And
Jake, you know, like, that's a billion dollar idea, man. RGL, the regular guys league. Regular guys league. Right? Absolutely. We're talking to Jake Johnson here in the National Defense. Well, talking about fat guys in sports, I remember seeing King Kong Bundy at the Checkered Dome in St. Louis. And I went there with my buddy, and we're sitting like first or second row for King Kong Bundy. And, you know, you yell insults at these guys. They never say anything. My buddy says something about King Kong Bundy's mom. And King Kong Bundy looks around at my butt, I think he shit his pants. I really do.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I had a similar one that happened when it was the late 80s or early 90s, and Rob Beck, the old closer, was on the Cubs. And this, you know, he looked like the Danny McBride character in Eastbound and Down. I think he might have been an influence. He had the like wavy long hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Goatee, nice big gut on him. And we were all in the bleachers before just, you know, everyone was yelling at him. And then somebody yells like, hey, Rod Beck, you know, you should be in the All-Star game. And he turns around and goes, not with my numbers. And then somebody goes, hey, man, like how many chicks did you get last night? And obviously they use more disgusting language. And there's a long pause and he turns around and he goes, none. And the whole area just stopped and we all went like, all right, man, we'll stop yelling at you.
Yeah, right. It's not worth the effort on our part.
Yeah, I was like, I just remember being like, oh, yeah, they can hear us. They're literally right there. They're just people.
Do you love Nate Bargatze?
I think he's very funny.
Yeah, I went to see him the other night in Kansas City, and he had an opener. This guy that he must have he probably weighed 500 pounds. And and those guys always wear the same thing, right? They wear a white shirt that's very clingy. And so he comes out, this guy, and he was hysterical. And he's talking about his girlfriend who he really doesn't trust completely. And he goes, I think I'm one like pillow away from her taking me out of this world. And he said, and for me, there's no investigation. There's no investigation. The cops show up. He said, how do you think he died? It could have been heat. You know, who cares? I mean, nobody's digging into that.
Anything.
Hey, let's talk about the music on Minx. I think I brought it up last time, but do you have a hand in picking the music? Because it's extraordinary. No. It's extraordinary. No,
I wish I could take credit, but that's Ellen Rappaport, our showrunner. Mm. She's the she's got it really kind of nailed down. She's, you know, honestly, for an EP credit on that one, the executive producer. I hate to say it, but it's true. It's more of just a vanity credit. You know, I took that when I was offered that job. I wanted that credit. And I really view it more like if I was a fullback, because sometimes you get a lot of interference from executives,
right,
and they take the show away from the showrunner. And it's a really weird thing. Like, once you get a bad review or if audiences aren't watching it, you now essentially have like a new boss, and that's a member of the studio or the network. And as an executive producer, you can just add another voice of support for your showrunner. So I wish I could take credit for like the Vegas stuff or the music, but it was really her. My role on that was I could pitch on Doug, my character, and say like, you know, could Doug do this? But when I first met Ellen, she had a very clear vision. And some showrunners fake it. And, right, you know, some directors fake it where they'll go like, oh, I know what this is. And as you're talking, you'll be like, you kind of know what it is. And then other ones, it's like in their bones. This felt like a story that she really needed to tell. So I did feel my role on that was put a lot of thought into my character and then just protect her as much as I could.
Man, Renetti is a one of a kind guy. And so I just finished up, I think that same episode had Renetti pitching the idea of an all male tour, right? Right. And my wife goes, oh, that's the beginning of Chippendales. That's the beginning of Chippendales. And then it was summarily rejected. But was that kind of the thought process behind that?
You know, I think so. I remember that was kind of the origin. What was fun about, so for anyone who hasn't seen it, my character is, you know, a 70s pornographer, and his business is taken away from him, season two. So he is no longer the boss. And he becomes the pitch man. And he comes up with this idea of basically Chippendales. And what was fun about shooting that scene was when Doug is pitching to his now new bosses this idea, and they essentially say no, was I knew Doug was right.
Right, right.
It's really fun as an actor. Sometimes you have to do stuff where you're like, I know this is funny, but I can't relate to the character at all. You're like, it's funny. And I will say, you know, at the end of the day, say your lines. But this one was right because the scene had the others winning, and it had Doug being a bit of a goofball with a bunch of guys like dancing in their underwear.
Right.
And the whole day shooting it, everybody on crew was cracking up. every member of crew, and some dude would like rip his pants off, and he's in his little skimpies, you know, from like the hockey club, like tough guys to like the ladies. Everybody's cracking up. But what was nice about my line saying this is a good idea is I'm like, Doug was right here and everybody else was wrong. There's big money in this.
And I think everybody knew that. Like all the viewers are like, hey, he's right here. He's, you know.
This is fun.
Right, right.
And the truth is, what I love about the premise of the show is that, you know, it's capitalism. And any way to make, and I love capitalism. You know, one of the reasons I took this job is like, I love our country. I love what we're built off of.
Right.
And when you get terms, this idea of like, you know, feminism and racism and all these other terms, I'm like, well, if you're a capitalist, you're open to all people because it is the structure of our government.
Right, right.
What we see is green.
Right, right, exactly.
So if an idea comes from a woman and everyone goes, hey, I don't believe in women, then you're not a true capitalist.
Right.
Because if the idea is great and it's going to bring us all success, who cares who it's coming from?
Right. Women also have money.
That's what I loved about Renetti.
That's the new thing I found out. Women also have money. They have money.
Whoever has money, right. I'm like, great.
Right. Well, you know, I was thinking about you, Jake, because the last time we talked to you, I think the show was just about to hit the air. And then, and then season two got approved, which I was like, man, that's great. But, and then the actor strike and, you know, and then you got to go through that. And then it was like some weird thing about it's on one network and it's on another. I mean, was that like super frustrating? It had to be super frustrating, right?
You know what it really did for me? And just now being honest. So the reason we got knocked off of HBO Max was not even creative. It was for tax reasons. You know, they had a new, they were open about it. A new guy came in at the top and he made a lot of changes in order to save their company money. You know, they have movies right now that they finished, they haven't released yet. And they're not going to save just the overhead. I don't even have a judgment. It's how they want to run their business.
Sure.
So then we got knocked to a new place. And so then the new place tried to market it and blah, blah, blah. And then the writer's strike happened. And part of the strike I found really frustrating was we couldn't promote.
Right.
And so you couldn't promote something you were already finished with. And I believe promotion is for the fans. And we make this for the fans. It's to tell people this is finished. But what it really did for me was, so I'm now, during the strike, I started a podcast called We're Here to Help.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been a blast. I think you'll like it, actually. It's with one of my stand-up buddies. His name is Gareth Reynolds. It's all live calls, and we do, it's like an advice thing, but it's a jokey advice thing. We're getting stand-ups with us. We're getting comedians with us.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
The premise is if you went to a bar and you sat down with your buddies and you said, like, I got a problem.
Right.
Well, your buddies aren't going to just rub your back and say, like, we're sorry. They're going to pitch ideas. Right. They might be terrible ideas. But they're going to try to pitch you out of this trouble. And then in the end, you're going to go, hey, thanks a lot. I'm not taking any of your advice, but here is what I'm going to do. And so we started doing that. And one of the reasons I wanted to do it was in reaction to my bosses controlling when I got to work or not, and how they wanted me to market it and how they sold it. And so we've been doing this podcast and it's been kind of blowing up for us. And so
that's so cool.
My big reaction to how they treated Minx was not to get my feelings hurt and get mad,
right,
but realize it's their ball. They can do what they want. I just got to make sure that I have my own game going too. So the next time I do have a TV show and I work for a big corporation, that's theirs.
Right.
But I always need mine where I can say, like, this is directly to a fan base who likes what I'm doing and I like doing it and we have a relationship too and I'm not going to stop.
Well, that's exactly why I started this show instead of continuing to do morning shows around the country, because, right, you know, man, after a while, you always know that you'll somebody will come to you and go, Randy, we're going in a different direction.
Although coming in, they'll say, hey, Randy, this is great. Hey, do me a favor. Don't talk about sports or any of those other. And you go, I not only do I want to, I know the audience is okay with it. That's what we're doing.
Let me give you an outstanding example of that. You know, Jim Rome.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. So I was in San Diego doing mornings. Jim Rome was just coming up. He was doing my sports report on the Mighty 690 XTRA in San Diego. So, and Jim told this story on CBS Sports the other day. So they bring me in and I'm doing the morning show and I'm doing, I'm everything. Yeah. I mean, I'm just doing everything. And Jim is loving it. I mean, Jim is just, he's out of his mind. He thinks I'm, you know, whatever. And so, the program director pulls him aside at one point and says, hey, don't go down with this guy. I mean, he's gonna take you down in the mud. Don't do it. And Jim goes, the guy's hilarious. And he goes, no. You got a promising career, Jim. You need to be not so acerbic. And thank God, Jim never took that advice, because that's his whole career, is being acerbic. And
exactly right.
But that's the kind of thing, you know, when you're being directed by the wrong people who have no idea what your vision is.
You know, it goes back to the beginning of this talk call with the, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky. If you get drafted on a team and they give you a bad OC and a bad head coach and they don't know how to work with you, well, everybody blames you.
Right.
And, so, and the fan base is, you know, honest to God, like, you know, we both know this. We're very lucky if anybody wants to listen to what we do. That's the game.
Right.
And if they enjoy it, then you have a nice relationship. And so as soon as you can have a relationship with an audience that goes, you guys get, your life gets 1% better when you listen. My life gets 50% better when I get to do it.
Right.
We're happy here.
Right.
Then you get a boss that is going, you're making it harder for me to connect to the only thing that matters, and that's the audience.
Right.
And that's if you're a football player, that's winning.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm like. And I'm not done playing the, you know, the Hollywood game if the right project comes. But what I'm doing now is I'm now working more with the talent. So I'm partnering up with other actors and writers who I respect and forming a team that we're kind of protected before we go out to them.
That's cool.
Because if you realize you could be on a show, you could sell a movie, well, the streamer could go upside down and all of a sudden Netflix and Peacock could can become one thing and all the Peacock shows are dead and you go like, hey, wait a second. I was supporting my family on this show. You can't just pull the plug.
It's so weird too. Now, you know, you got all these little tiny streaming services. Yeah. You know, we have guests who come on, like, you know, pretty well-known guests that are like, we'll say this with a straight face. You can catch my show on Sweeby. Or
yeah,
you know, it's like, and I'm like, yeah. what is that?
I know exactly what you mean. Well, I mean, I'll tell you this, and this is just being honest. So we grew up in a family. We had one TV. We didn't have cable. So I didn't have cable until I was in my 20s, and it felt like the biggest luxury in the world to be able to go on. So to this day, I can't help but just live a little bit old school. And that is, what I mean by that is I have like 3 streamers.
Is that right?
So, yeah, I don't have them all. So a lot of people, every new one they get, and they just add the $12 and the $15. Well, part of it is I can't remember all the passwords.
Right.
So
right.
there's certain networks and there's certain things that I have been in that I haven't seen because I don't have access. and Randy, I've done press for them. And they've said, what do you think? And I go, well, on this one, it was a really great team. And I'm thinking, I don't have the password. That's sad, but true. There's too many.
We see Minx on Amazon Prime for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Because
honestly, that one felt, Minx for me was very clean when it was on HBO Max.
Right.
Then it was the Stars, and I was getting a little bit like, I know it's basic, and I know some people listening who are 22 are going like, would these two geezers shut up? It gets complicated, man. I'm like, I'm not into this trend. I'm not into the trend of, you know, they did it with, what was the short form one? Quibi.
Right. That was good thinking.
Everybody in Hollywood's all of a sudden saying like, so you got a movie idea? And I'd be like, yeah, I've been excited about it. They'd be like, great. Can you pitch it to Quibi? And I'm like, I'll pitch it anywhere. What's Quibi? They do it in 90-second intervals. And I'm like, 90 seconds? I can't turn a movie into like 5,000 90-second clips. I don't know how to do it.
90 seconds. I can't fill 90 seconds. Are you crazy? Talking about 90 seconds. We're talking to Jake Johnson here in the National Defense. Hey, I got to ask you about this guy, Oscar Montoya, man.
Oh, yeah. He's a star.
Oh, my gosh. He plays Richie on Minx. And every time he comes on, man, I'm like, okay, hold your breath.
Yeah. He's a star. He's great. I mean, honestly, that whole cast. Lennon Parham, who plays the sister, is so great. Ophelia is the lead. The work she does, season 2, I just don't, you know, honestly, what I feel that happened in Fair is season 1, the reviews were a little bit harsh on her of like, is Joyce likable enough and blah, 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 which I found to be such a stupid take on the show.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a fish out of water story. So what the review should have said is Ophelia does a perfect job representing this character. And I'm not sure if I like the character,
right.
But that's the idea.
Right.
And so everybody on there, like, you know, Jess Lowe, Idara, it's just a murderer's row. It's really a lot of talent and it is a lot of fun. And you can find it on mushumushu.com.
it's on mybelt.com.
And the way you can find it is you have to walk around the woods, look up in the trees, and you might see it on a branch. And if you see it, watch it, because it's going to be on a different branch soon.
It's also showing on my Starlink satellite. Just on the top of the satellite, you can see it.
Go to channel 515 through 570. It's going to be one of those.
I want to go back to your podcast because I am so intrigued by this. We're here to help because you've just described my life, and it's usually golf buddies or, I mean.
So the fun of the show is that it's.
I love that.
People come in and just like in a bar, because what I do with my friends and what we all believe in and what I've always believed in is, I don't like the friend who just kisses butt.
Yeah, right,
If I'm out of line,
yeah.
As a friend, you got to call me out.
Right,
and
right.
So the fun of the show is that some callers were totally with, and some callers were not, and we're saying, like, we got to get you out of trouble here. Like, there was a woman who just called in who has a dog sitter, and I just bring this one up because I was against her a little bit on it.
But all right, wait a minute. Set this up, and then let me start with the advice. Before you tell me what you said. Okay.
Yes, fair. So she has a dog sitter watching her place, and her husband notices on the dog cam that the woman came in, brought her boyfriend, and a bunch of cameras. They then did a little bit of research and found out that she's got an OnlyFans account.
Oh.
So now they realized, she's using our house as like her set for her OnlyFans video with her boyfriend or her husband, whoever the guy was.
Oh, wow.
So she's like, well, I got really frustrated and I didn't find that acceptable. So that I got on and paid to subscribe to her OnlyFans. You see if my house was there, what do I do now? So where are you at?
So she paid the money to get
under her name.
Under her name.
Yes.
Number one, there has to be some kind of a charge for at least a trade agreement with the dog sitter. So you don't, you don't pay her anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
but the payment's done. The house, I mean, this was over. This was done. They were already.
They were done. So what did you guys tell her?
So the first thing I said, well, you can't hire her again unless this is like, unless you don't care. You know, certain people go like, right. Great, right. Use the place. Right. You know, that's why we clean the sheets. But I know, I said, but as a friend to you, you are out of control. You can never go to OnlyFans as your own name. And I go, now imagine if she didn't film anything. Imagine if the cameras were just to like take photos of them and the dogs, right?
Right, right.
You stalked your dog sitter, got on her OnlyFans, started following her, and then fired her.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So with her, I'm like, you got to clean up this mess because you're in a load of trouble. She might think like, yeah, my dog said I have a lot of fun. The person I do creeped out, looked at me naked, watched me have sex, and then fired me. What am I, that ugly? Am I that bad at sex that I can't watch her dog?
And now these are real calls, right?
These are all, so now they're 100% real. And then we do something fun where, and it used to be different. I used to overproduce it.
Right.
Where I would pre-screen the calls and I would read about them and I would go back and forth.
Right.
But what we realize is our producer, Kevin, who's really great, he oversees that. So Gareth and I don't know what the call's going to be.
I love it.
So when the thing starts, we all have our headphones on. It just starts. It is as new to us as it is to the audience.
I love that.
And our guest is the same way.
And so you guys can have that reaction.
So we don't know. And, you know, the truth is we've got calls. We only air the ones that work. There are a lot that, like, you know, it's not clear. We don't know. So we are taking it live. And it's not live to the audience, but it is live to us.
I love that. Oh, man. What a great. And it's called We're Here to Help.
Yes. It's a load of fun. It's on YouTube. It's on anywhere you can listen to podcasts. You can go out in the woods and find it up in a tree branch. True. Channel 500 to 600.
Is it on Squidgy? Are you guys on Squidgy?
It's on Squidgy. It's on Mushu Mushu. It's on Kung Pao Chicken. You can find it.
So now I don't know. I don't know. I don't are you married? Or I don't know if you are married. If you're not married,
yeah.
You are married?
I'm married.
What are you? Yeah. Okay. Here's my deal. So for Valentine's Day, they're having the Super Bowl parade on Valentine's Day here. Are you like me? Are you like me? Are you just sick of Super Bowl parades?
You know, I don't partake in them because I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
but my idea of a Valentine's Day gift, the perfect Valentine's Day gift, is to take my wife to the Super Bowl parade.
So here's where you might be okay. So yeah. I've got two daughters. I've got twin 10-year-old girls.
Okay.
My kids have never cared about sports.
Right.
And I'm not one of those dads being like, because I love it, you need to
right.
follow your own.
Right.
I have a buddy who can come and stare at the game with me. I just want my kids near me.
Right.
They don't have to be doing what I'm doing. They just have to be near.
Right.
Because of a lady with blonde hair who sings country songs, my kids care a little bit. All of a sudden, they know who Kelsey is.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, they know who, you know, they did have a funny moment. One of my daughters who's less interested, there was the clip of Kelsey banging into Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
And she did get confused of which one was Kelsey, which really made me question Taylor Swift's view of what's a handsome man.
You're right.
Where she goes, my one daughter goes like, that's Kelsey. And my other daughter goes, which one? And I went like, how could you say that? I guarantee Taylor Swift isn't with the 300-pound 60-year-old with an enormous mustache. She's as rich and successful as a human being can get.
Right.
She's making a pick, and she goes, I'm Taylor Swift. I can hit any man on planet Earth. I choose Andy Reid.
I'll get Actually, that would be a much better story. That would be a much better story.
Yeah, if she's going to choose Andy Reid, it's going to be to run her offense of a football team. It's not going to be to hop in the sack with him.
Right? I want to call in to your podcast now and say, listen, my daughter is seeing Andy Reid, and she's dog sitting for us. And we discovered cameras up all over the place, but yeah, I got, my wife is, I was telling this story the other day. She's known as the queen of supplements. And so she just every day, she just says, she hands me stuff and she goes, either drink this or take this or whatever. And I say, what is it? And she says, it's good for you. And I just do it like a, you know, like a robot. And yeah. I mean, is your wife?
We better hope she doesn't turn on you, Randy.
Exactly. I'm done for because
she's gotcha. She's gotcha. She's
right by this. Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't know. When I think about these supplements, I don't know if history is going to tell us that they were the smartest thing and people are going to live 15 years longer, or if we are fools and we are taking pills of nothing and spending all of our money and going like, I drank another disgusting potion that did nothing for my body.
Ozempic.
Well, I know that's working because yeah. Half of Hollywood weighs about 95 pounds.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, no. This isn't real life, guys. You guys are getting way too thin. You guys look sick.
And they're like, no, we're just working out. We're working out
a lot. Yeah, just working out. The first time in my life it's working. And we all have little bruises on our stomachs where the injection goes. What happened? Did the barbell fall on your stomach?
Jake, man, it is so great always talking to you. Thank you so much for the time. I'm going to check out this podcast. I cannot wait. How many episodes have you guys done so far?
We've released about 50, but we got a bunch banked. So we've, you know, Gareth is a 20-year friend. He's a diehard Packer fan. We've been close buds forever. So
that's so cool.
He pushed me to do this, and doing it with him is just, it's not work.
Yeah.
So we just keep banking them because they're honestly fun to do. Whenever we don't have another gig, he'll be like, I'm in town, because he's a touring stand-up, and I'll be like, I got Tuesday open until 2. We're like, let's just fill it. So we've made about 100 of them. I think we've released about 50.
Oh, that's cool. Do you listen to podcasts? Bunch of podcasts?
You know, I do. There's a one called Heavyweight, which I really like. But I always try to find ones that really kick for me. And then when I can't, I just binge them too fast. So I'm currently looking for new ones.
I'm listening to the Dave Coulier Full House Rewind podcast.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah. It's a big behind the scenes thing.
And you like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Were you a big Full House guy, Randy?
My kids were.
The world.
Yeah. So now I'm like, what really happened on that show? And it's amazing, you know, when you break it all down. Well, you know, I mean, just those little behind the scenes kind of moments. You know?
It's a neat part of the industry. It really, I mean, you know, there's this whole reputation that Hollywood is, you know, dark and there's big conspiracies. And the reality is that might be happening somewhere. But most of them, it's just a big business with a lot of personalities,
right?
And then with a lot of unique talents.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because a lot of these actors, they come from all over the country, and they're like just some kid in a mall who was really funny. And you're like, you know, you're just gifted. And then these writers, there's just a lot of talent and a lot of ego and not a lot of time and a lot of money. And so it creates this like really intense pressure cooker. That's really fun to be part of.
I just finished reading the Judd Apatow book about Gary Shandling.
Shandling was the best.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what a kind of a tortured soul that guy was.
He put himself through it because he really cared about it being just right.
Right.
But when you watch something like the Larry Sanders Show, which I just kind of rewatched during the pandemic, I'm like, I know you put yourself through it, but I'm kind of glad you did selfishly because this show is so good.
I know.
When you watch a show like The Sopranos, I'm like, my God, is that good television.
Right. and yet all everybody's talking about is, will there be a new girl reunion?
I mean, that's a big jump. We just went from Sopranos to a reunion.
That's the question in everybody's mind, Jake.
Well, here's the truth, Randy. I'm going to give you breaking news. We are all interested in, yes, Lamorne Morris, who played Winston, won't do it. He won't do it.
Why?
So he says that we can't afford him. He says we're beneath him. He's going to be in the new SNL movie playing Garrett Morris. He said he does all these BMO commercials. And he said, like, he's now the face of a bank. He's not the face of some show from the from 10 years ago. So he's been very difficult. He's got a new podcast that's starting, I think, this week, The Morning After. So he's trouble. He's the trouble, baby. If we can get Lamorne on board, something might happen.
I keep working on him, man. I mean.
Yeah, he's just trouble.
Jake,
there's always one trouble in the group.
Hey, thank you so much, man. It's great talking to you. And I can send you some Chiefs gear. I can send you some Chiefs gear that just came out today.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
See you later.